as I wait.
Heart Hello of God. And welcome to the Bridge Podcast, where we talk about how to bridge what we learned on Sunday with our everyday lives. This week, Pastor Jonathan continued a series called Saturate, preaching about rhythms. You can find both his sermon and the following discussion questions on newlifepacifica.com. All right, Saturate, we are going to talk about that for the next few minutes together. We threw together some discussion questions. There's that very aggressive cover of a book, but we've learned together as a staff not to judge a book by its cover, because that cover is very abrasive, but the content inside isn't. It's great stuff.
I really don't know why you all made such a fuss about the cover. I mean, I brought the cover out one at a staff meeting, and everyone went, I like that song.
I'm melting.
I mean, you know, but it's been an extraordinarily challenging book, which has been, you know, really helped us to engage with being Christians. I mean, I know that sounds very simplistic, but it's one of those things that, you know, the interesting thing about it, and I think one of the most important things about it is that the way in which the book, you know, where in the church, when you come up with something like this, you almost feel like the congregation's heart sink, because they think, oh my goodness, it's another program.
Right.
And I don't have any time in my schedule for another program. What on earth am I going to do? And some people say, well, you know, I just can't do it. And the other people say, well, I have to do it because I don't want to disappoint the pastor. And it ends up being a guilt trip.
Doesn't it?
And, you know, and, you know, that's no way to live, doing things because you feel guilty if you don't. But he makes it really, really clear that what he's talking about doesn't require you to find any extra time in your calendar. But in many ways, what he challenges us to do, I think, is in some ways more difficult than finding it. I mean, if it's possible, anything could be more difficult than finding because he asks us to look again at the things that are already in our calendar,
right,
and rethink the way we do them to bring the intentionality of gospel activity into each of those activities. Now, I don't mean sort of every activity we've talked about, you have to be reading your Bible and declaring the four spiritual laws to somebody, but it's understanding the process of the gospel and sharing the gospel and making that part of our everyday activities, things that we already do.
Well, let me cut you off there with our first of four questions, because it really addresses kind of what you've already began in our conversation. We have four questions which are about this last week's sermon. The first question is just an introductory question. It's called Everyday Rhythms, and this is how the question goes. One of Vanderstelt's passions is to ignite enthusiasm for Christians to be disciples of Jesus in the everyday stuff of life. Weeks 6 and 7 of this study have been devoted to this pursuit of the everyday stuff, what Vanderstelt further calls our everyday rhythms. What are your everyday rhythms? When do you go to work? Although that's changed quite a bit, hasn't it? When do you go to work? Who do you work with? What's for lunch? Walk through the days of your week and ready yourself to consider how you might prayerfully infuse the gospel into the everyday stuff you already do.
Right. I mean, you're right saying, you know, we've got a whole, we're having to establish a whole new set of rhythms.
Right, right, the new normal.
You know, who knows how long these will last, and who knows when, what the, shall we say, the new normal will look like when we come through the other side of this. And of course, this is the first time that you have actually seen our faces recording, so that maybe that's a new normal. Maybe it's a new normal you wish wasn't a new normal. But nevertheless, you're seeing our faces for the first time as we have this conversation that we enjoy having every week about these things. And but our rhythms are, most of us live in a way that's established by some habits, even though we think we don't. The more we, the less habits we actually have, or the less routines we actually have, the more chaotic our lives are. And so we do seek, even unconsciously, we seek to have rhythms. I mean, God established rhythms when he said, when he established in the creation, the evening and the
days
morning.
Days 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, yeah.
Yeah, and then each day, and then the seventh day he rested. And all of those things were, we have, the day is a rhythm. You know, the sun comes up, the sun goes down. The world has rhythm to it, and so do we. And we are most comfortable when we live within those rhythms.
You know, I have really enjoyed these last 2 weeks talking about rhythms, because it feels like it's all coming together for me with this series on Saturate. I really didn't know where we were going. I didn't know how those 3 weeks, weeks 3, 4, and 5, where we talked about our identity as family, servants, and missionaries, I didn't see how that was connected to Saturate. It felt disconnected, but now that we're linking our gospel identity to our everyday rhythms, tying those two things together, it's like the light bulb went off, and I understand what this book Saturate is all about. It ties like who we are in Christ with what we do in our everyday life, and all of that is directed towards mission, and it's clear. So I like how it's laid out, though I have to admit I was a bit lost the last few weeks.
Yeah, you see, it does. It really helps us to, I mean, we have three identities. We're identified as children of our Heavenly Father, of servants of the King of Kings, and of missionaries sent by the Holy Spirit. And we look at each of these activities and say, how do we infuse our childhood, our servanthood, and our missionaryhood, if you will, into those activities?
Yeah,
because that's who we are.
That's neat. Yeah, well, let's give that a go, shall we?
Yeah.
Looking at three rhythms this week. Last week we looked at eating, celebrating, and recreating, recreation. And this week we're going to look at listening, storytelling, and blessing. So first, listening, our fourth of six rhythms. Everyone is listening all the time. It is an everyday rhythm. The real question is, who are we listening to? What does it mean for us believers to listen to God? How do we do that? What other voices are out there for you personally, and what are they saying? Alternatively, in a different way, believers are called to listen to others also. Does your listening stem from a place of information gathering, compassion, genuine interest, looking to fix something, or something else? So again, with this rhythm of listening, we kind of have two components, don't we? I mean, we're on the one hand, as believers, we're called to listen to God and put his voice first and foremost. But then secondly, as missionaries, we're called to listen to those around us, both in our own community and the communities to which we've been sent.
Yeah, that's so true. And I realized that, you know, my listening skills needed a lot of development. And so I've read multiple books on the subject of listening, and I hope I've improved.
Why am I not surprised? I mean, just looking at your home office there with all the books in the background, that is a good background.
I hope I've improved it somewhat. But, you know, I mean, the first part is listening to God, and we've emphasized this in a lot of the weeks, how important it is to when you want a relationship with God, to actually spend some time listening to him. And you know, that was the thing that God challenged me with, that did I want to spend, was I only going to work with listening to him,
right?
Or was I going to listen to him as my father, as my you know, the person who I was serving? Was I going to listen to him and spend time and by so doing communicate his importance in my life? And I know that you know, that's made a significant difference. And I mean, it's probably the only part of this thing that, if you're not doing it, where it is strongly urged to make time to do that, and even if it means crossing something else out, because it is so foundational. If we want to have a relationship with Jesus and follow him, that we will listen to him. But then, of course, there is the fact that if you want to communicate with somebody else, you have to know their story. Yeah. You have to know something about them. And if you don't listen to them, and when I say, maybe this is just revealing my own weaknesses, as I so often have to do, is listen to them without planning what you're going to say next.
Yeah,
because
that's so
tempting. Often you know, you've got the first sentence out of somebody else's mouth. You're now realizing how you can argue against it, how you can respond to it, how you can impress with your whatever. You're looking to have what you're going to say next. And sometimes we completely miss what the other person says. And it's only by actually listening to their stories you get the engagement, that the places where you can relate and maybe tell your story.
I love what John says in chapter 10 of his gospel about listening, the sheep listening to the shepherd's voice. And I feel like I'll read a couple verses in a minute, but if we're going to recognize the shepherd's voice, we have to spend time with him, don't we?
Yeah.
It's like it's following the Spirit, and we're not going to be able to tell when the Spirit is nudging us if we aren't in a regular rhythm of listening to God. Just to read those verses, because they're so encouraging. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, it says, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. They know the voice of the shepherd. I love that.
I mean, when you think about it, you know, the first time I ever spoke to you, David, on the phone, I had no idea who you were. And if you didn't tell me what your name was, I wouldn't have known who you were.
Do you remember that first conversation?
No. I remember many conversations that I've had with you, but I don't remember if our first conversation was on the phone.
Right. Anyways, but, we don't need to go down that memory lane.
No. But now, if you call me now, I will know who it is instantaneously, right? Because right. I know your voice, because we've spent time together.
Mm-hmm. You also know my story, and that is what our fifth rhythm is all about, storytelling. Here's that question. As with the everyday rhythm of listening, storytelling involves two steps. One, knowing your story, and then two, knowing others' stories. First, do you know how to tell your own story, or more accurately, your inclusion in God's story? Practice a shortened form with your growth group or those at your home. Second, get practical. Think of someone in your community and someone in your mission field whose story you do not know. Then intentionally carve out some space to get to know their story. While you hear their story, listen for the presence of lesser stories, which God longs to redeem through the power of the gospel.
Well, we've talked a lot in this series about knowing your own story and being able to tell your own story. It's one of the most precious things you have. And it's one of the best ways to share your experience, because nobody can argue with your story. It's yours. And what God has done for you, he's done for you. And learning to tell that story and realizing that your story is not insignificant. Your story is not unimportant. Your story is very precious. Learning that is so important. But then, of course, if that's true of your story, it's also true of everybody, of other people's stories. And so listening to them is giving them a gift, because if you listen to somebody carefully, you get to know something about them, which is very precious to them. And it also enables you to engage with their story in places where your experiences connect. And that enables you to share your faith in the most natural of ways. And so both being able to tell your own story and being willing to listen to other people's stories is crucially important.
In a way, kind of what we do each Sunday is an act of storytelling, isn't it? Where we open up the Word and we talk about God's story, how he has interacted with humans in history, and specifically Israel. And you think about how many of their feasts during their festival year involve just retelling the story of Passover, the story of the Exodus, entering into booths, even just like they did while they were into the in the wilderness. You know, God put those intentional storytelling pieces into their rhythms as a community so that they remember who they were, what their identity is. And yeah, I think that even our own, you know, monthly activity, sharing communion together, it is an act of storytelling and rehearsing what is true about ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's true.
That's great. Well, our last rhythm is blessing. And this is something that our church is really active in through Matthew 25. And it's doing some special things in this difficult season. Here's this last question. 4,000 years ago, God interrupted a guy named Abram with a promise and a calling. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. This has been the calling of the people of God ever since, blessing others, both in our community of faith and outside it, in words, gifts, and actions. And this should be an everyday rhythm of our lives. What are some of the needs in your community and mission field, and how might you tangibly meet some of those needs? Ask the Spirit to show you who to bless and how.
Yeah, this is, you know, the breadth of blessing of the is so enormous that, you know, you've got it. I think we underestimate the fact that if you just smile at somebody, yeah, you bless them in a way, because if you smile at somebody, you're actually saying, I've noticed you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pleased that I've noticed you. Extraordinarily simple things like opening a door for somebody, all of those things are ways in which you can, again, say, I've noticed you, and I'm responding to having noticed you.
Yeah, that's especially powerful in our like isolating individualistic society, you know, where it's just me on a mission to do my thing.
It's even worse right now because of all of the things that are going on around us. But, you know, one simple thing that I learned from a friend of mine was that, you know, when you go to a store and somebody's got, you know, the person who checks you out almost inevitably has a badge with their name on. If you say, thank you, Jessica, then it's amazing to see the result of that, because normally if you just say thank you, they don't really respond. But when you say Jessica, if that happens to be the person's name, if you say Jessica, they go, whoa, you know, you notice me.
And it's an invitation to relationship.
Right.
That's what knowing someone's name is.
And then there's, you know, you can go all the way up to those most amazing stories of blessing that are told in Van der Stelt's book. You know, there was one group that went through this process by putting post-it notes up on the wall of things that they had and things that they could do and things that they were, things that they enjoyed. And one couple was really quiet, and they said, went up to them and said, why are you so quiet? They said, well, actually we can't give anything because we're deep in credit card debt. And they looked up at the things that they had, and there was two or three savings accounts. And so they said, you know, could we help you pay off your credit card debt?
Wow.
And then somebody else said, look, I've taught budgeting all my life. I'd be happy to teach you and help you that you didn't get into that again. And then another guy turned around and said, you know, I was exactly in your position. I was exactly where you are. I'll tell you my story and how I managed to get out of it. Mm. And, you know, so all of those people made a contribution to blessing these people.
Now, Dave Ramsey wasn't the small group leader of this group.
Not as far as I know.
Okay.
And it was a small group.
That's neat. I love that. Wow.
It's an amazing story.
What a tight community that was.
Yeah.
Well, here's hoping that this series will help everyone grow closer to one another as we are on mission for Christ. Well, we will meet you guys here next week to talk about our last week in the Saturate series, week 8.
Yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this new version of the Bridge Postcard podcast. And I hope that it will just help you engage with the material. You don't have to listen to the sermon, but, you know, I guarantee you that if you listen to the sermon, if you look at the last few sermons, If you go up about 5 or 6 minutes into the sermon, you will hear some of the testimonies, the stories of members of our church family, and I'm sure that they will bless you. Yes. I look forward to seeing you again next time.
As I wait, heart of God, satisfy and sustain.